Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every few months, there's a new buzzword on the lips of every marketer. Sometimes those buzzwords linger. Some become mainstream and some die a timely death. The one we're all playing with now is AI.
But where does AI fit? Is it going to kill our jobs or is it simply going to amplify the work we do? I'm Joe Glover, founder of the Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 36,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 20 years now, and I'm a massive believer that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers on a spreadsheet.
Nice.
Did we just nail that in one hit? Welcome back, Joe. It's been a while.
Hey!
So for those of you who can't see us or don't know what we're actually doing, so we're in an actual podcasting studio room today, and we've got a new Rode podcaster toy to play with, which has a bunch of buttons that are closer to Joe than they are to me. So as you heard, there was a real audience in the background, and I am hilarious. But Joe, it's been a while. Nice to see you again, mate.
You too.
Looking well.
So are you? I mean, it's not like we haven't just spent the past hour and a half trying to fix
out the fancy new toy. You're right. So the topic we're talking about today is AI, right? Mm-hmm. So, and specifically, we're talking about AI in marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's kind of weird talking to you face to face.
I know, I don't like it. I'm going to look away.
A bit too close. So AI, and so what started this conversation is, well, started off the idea was looking at, so Jasper, so I think a few people in the marketing space would have known who Jasper are, have probably played with Jasper. So us as an agency, we've been playing around with it for about a year, looking at ways that we can use it. But they had a investment round of 125 million a few weeks back, which valued them at 1.5 billion. It's just a big investment,
crackers.
Right? So, and I think DC, I saw him post on his Instagram, proud to be an early investor. I mean, of course you are, because you've just made a bunch of money off it. But anyway, it's a side story. But it's what I think that has done now is kind of thrust AI into the mainstream consciousness of marketers. So it kind of changes the scope from being like a niche toy that people are playing with to something that is kind of a real avenue that people are starting to explore now. Mm-hmm. What's your experience with AI, Joe?
I'm just going to point out that we haven't pressed record yet on there. Is that going to...
It's recording on here.
Yeah, cool. Sweet. So my experience with AI is fairly limited in the sense that I haven't really engaged with any of the programs which eulogize about AI. You know, it's one of those things that, like, I think as a term, it's so confused. You know, so many people sort of say, like, oh, here's our product. It's an AI for whatever. And it's so frustrating because it just means nothing, right? You know, it's not a term that really... Of course, it's got roots in something that's real, but actually in the day-to-day application and, like, this tech buzzword that's just fueled by VC money, it's just like, it's a nothing term. So like in terms of applications where they say we are an AI for whatever, then I've actually used it fairly little. Yeah. I would say though, on the flip of that, you know, I've probably used a lot of AI and not known about it. You know, so whether that's like in Google Documents where it predicts the next word you're gonna say, or, you know, like on my camera, you know, which sort of uses AI to sort of change images and stuff like that. AI is in our lives already, but in this sort of marketing frontier, there's relatively little I've consciously used to sort of...
I think marketers are probably, like, one of the ones I would imagine is kind of prevalent for most people will be in spaces like Photoshop, right? So the replacing background image type shit, trying to figure that out. But I think like an interesting conversation around it, and one that we are not versed up well enough to go too deeply into, but is like, what is the difference between AI, machine learning, and effectively like a decision tree.
Yeah.
So like, I think AI is sold into a lot of people quite often as this big buzzword, but actually what it is a bunch of if this, then that type like protocols that people, it's smoke and mirrors, right? So it's like, what is going on in the background and what is actually being built off the back of it? Mm-hmm. But I think the interesting question for marketers at the moment is there's a bit of a dichotomy forming between those who are pro AI and those who are anti AI for like a bunch of different reasons. I think I think there's a range of different reasons where some are it's killing creativity. So like actually this is going, we're going to end up with a bunch of the same shit being created by the bots. And then the others are like, well, actually, where does this leave my role? So if I've now got a machine doing this, so we're kind of in that, that space where the like industrial revolution has gone from people running the what do you call them, the looms, to machines running it. I think marketing's starting to hit that phase now where actually a lot of the stuff that we've traditionally done as flesh and bone, we don't need to do anymore.
Well, you sort of see it with like PPC already, you know, 5 years ago or whatever it was, you know, it started to move into this, I'm not saying it is a commodity, but it's moving towards a commodity space with Google taking away options for you to customize your campaigns and stuff like that, and encouraging you to use like data-driven campaigns, which is just their way of saying, we'll choose the bid for you. You know, so we're seeing this every day, and it is scary as well. You know, the flip of this is like, you know, I love writing, for example. You know, is writing going to have any value? You know, or is graphic design going to have any value? You know, we're seeing image generators.
It depends on what part you enjoy. Like when you say you love writing, what is it about the writing that you love? Is it about getting your thoughts on paper or is it the actual process of you writing?
I would write for myself as a cathartic thing anyway, you know, so.
Dear diary.
You know, yeah, exactly. So like that bit, you know, I'll continue doing, but whether or not in the context of this conversation, that's a marketable skill, you know, is an interesting thing. So I want to come to you and your experiences of Jasper, because like you've been playing around with it, using it, and therefore you've got some experience on how you've chosen to use it. So where would you say are the sort of like the moments where you've chosen to use an AI sort of bit of help versus not?
I am a sucker for new toys and tech, right? Like I dread to think how much we currently spend on our tech stack. And some of that is because it's goose chasing, like, oh, let's play with a shiny new toy. But some of it, like that, I would say as a whole has always worked out for us in the end. We normally find things that are good to play with and kind of feed into our tech stack. How it started is I was interested. I was very much at the beginning phase of this is never going to be as good as a human, a well-trained human. Well-trained is it's not quite what I meant. A human with experience in the space who, like knowledge and experience, that coming together to actually write content for a particular like sector or segment or whatever, is never going to be able to do what the bots do. And then I was like, but I'll play with it because there might be something here good for SEO content, good for like that kind of fodder for Google type thing, but still having enough value to not alienate your visitors. That was kind of the space I was coming to it from. And we tried it and I was like, I got to the point where I was like, shit, this is actually really good. Like it's top level. It's not gone deep. It's not given me opinion. It's given me factual stuff that has then been scripted. And Adam, who works with me, got married in Bray earlier this year in Ireland, a tiny little seaside town in Ireland. And me and my wife were sat in a like cafe and I was like talking her through it. And I was like, well, let's try this thing. And I was like, look, you write travel blogs and posts sometimes. What if we were to pump in, okay, what are the 10 best things to do in Bray? That was the only topic we gave it. And it gave us enough information that we actually then went and did those 10 things. So like go to this, see this, have dinner at this restaurant, that kind of thing. So you're then like, well, actually that's quite powerful because it's what it's done there is taken out the research piece of like, okay, what things should we be looking at? So if I can brief it correctly, it gives me the gubbins of what I should be talking about. And then I can feed in the opinion piece, the editorial piece. It is taken away 2/3 of the process that I was having to do. You're right. I'm not going through the traditional writing process, which is cathartic for some. And that's why a lot of people go into like creative writing. Great. I then took that to our internal marketer at Six and Flow, Sarah, who, and I said to her, I was like, look, I'm going to challenge you to something. And Sarah's great. Like if she's one of those people, if I say, let's do this thing, she will do it. And I think it probably drives her nuts that I do that a lot. But and I said to her, okay, I'm going to challenge you with, I want 20 blogs. So every working day this month, I want a blog from you. So at first she's like, that's a lot of content. And then, because she's still got her day job of marketing as well. And then I was like, but I want you to use Jasper to do it. Sales team are constantly, the process that we use internally for our own writing is sales team will identify challenges that we're hearing from customers or case studies or like areas that we should be focusing our own content marketing on. That will then feed into our like blogs that we should write. So our content plan. Same process at that bit. She's then taken that, fed them into briefs into Jasper, created workflows for those briefs. It's basically the process that you use to create this content with Jasper. Then from that, she's created the like the topics of the blogs, that it's given her an outline of the blogs, and then she's gone into each one of those outline points, added more content using Jasper, pumped out the blog, done some editing, and then published it. So we did that for 20 days. The impact that that had, there was no discernible loss of quality because it was challenge-based briefs at the beginning and editorial by a human at the end to make sure it's in line. But the AI is able to do much deeper, much faster research. So she was pumping the blogs out, I think, in about, so well-researched blogs in about 45 minutes, which normally, depending on a content writer, you're looking at like 6 to 3 hours, 3 to 6 hours.
That's what a strange way to put it.
Whatever. The SEO impact from that was huge. Because we were pumping out blogs day in, day out. So we were going from 2 a week to 5 a week. And then it's just kind of the ramping up of that activity really made a difference. So we don't currently deliver on that basis for our clients, but it's now become an option for our clients to be able to do that.
It's interesting. Like, I mean, so there's two things that I hear there. So the first is that it's a bit of a story, but the other day I attended a big marketing conference, and then they had like one
Freemasons, right?
Yeah. People find that way too funny. The other day I attended this marketing
conference. Have you got the handshake?
Yeah.
And the weird nod.
God. And they had like this guy that was, you know, one of the industry leaders, quote unquote. And he was saying all these words, and they were just words that I'd heard before. Actually, the interesting stuff that he was actually putting out, the stuff that wasn't the filler, was the anecdotes, was the human stories where he was relaying that. And I was like, oh, actually, that's, you know, that's entertaining, or it's informative, whatever it is, you know. But there was, that was where the joy was. And I think that's an interesting thing, which feeds into the second point, which is about use the word fodder. And I wonder about content in general, really, because actually what we're saying here is that if you can pump out 20 posts in 20 days, and presently we're in a place where the SEO benefit is profound, I'm curious whether there'll be like a diminishing effect over that, over the course of time, because actually what we'll have is just more content, which I don't think any of us necessarily need more content in our lives. But, you know, how that then interacts, you know, with stuff like SEO, you know, does everything become so commoditized that there's no benefit to AI on a sort of loop? Which, the last thing is this just an opportunity right now? You know, that are we in like the wild west of AI, where the benefits from AI-based content in particular, as we speak in the context of inbound marketing, and actually in 3 to 5 years, it's not going to be differentiated? Or is the technology going to grow in such a way where we can start to pump in things like brand, and therefore the brand, you know, sort of differentiates it enough so it looks and feels like us? I don't know.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So you've asked like a bunch of questions. So yeah. I'll forget all of them. But the first thing I would respond to that, like, yes, fodder. Uh-huh. But and I'm a massive proponent of, well, like, it's a hill I will die on. Uh-huh. Currently, I've changed my mind on what I'll die on all the time. But the with blog content, in my role as a B2B, SMB, B2B company leader, decision maker, still involved in buying, so we're not large enough for me to be totally removed from buying. Some stuff we are, some stuff we're not. I don't read blogs in the way that marketers still assume that people like me read blogs. Like, my view on that is that content, blog-based content, isn't what I consume to make a decision in a purchase process.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I Google something, say for example, I'm Googling top 10 CRMs, I will just take the snippet content and I'll go, okay, so HubSpot, Salesforce, fucking Zoho, like Sugar, whatever the fuck it is. Those, I will take that as a list of content that I can quickly make an assumption about other things I'm going to look for, or I could snapshot that and go, hey, team who's looking at this, go and look at that quickly. That is all driven by, kind of, the SEOs are going to hate me for saying this, but like, a lot of that is driven by the volume of content, how it's positioned, how that stuff works. I'm not actually ever going to read that, like, post in any I might scan it. Your point on the anecdotes, I would say, like, anecdotes are important. That's the stuff that, like, people buy from people. Like, that's the kind of stuff that engages you and interests you. But I think if it's the kind of content where you're looking to make quick assumptions, quick decisions, or you want quick outlines, the anecdote stuff, unless it's somebody, so I follow Joe, I was going to say Joe Blogs, Joe's blog, because I know Joe, I like the way he speaks. I'm following that for a different reason than I'm following TMM's blog, because like, I want to see the top marketers in a space, or you did the top courses, like education courses. That's something I could scan really quickly, either as a post, but also you put your opinions on there. I didn't actually read it. I'm assuming you put your opinions on there. I saw the title. I read the title, Joe. That's all you get from me.
You're great. You're great at the H1.
I didn't even open it. It was something like the post. But like, so that kind of content, I think, is where this has a space. But I actually think that there is a space for both of them, because you're making, well, you're not really making an assumption. I'm making you make an assumption here, is that you have the bots. So I've briefed them. The bots are creating the body of the content, like they're doing the research. That doesn't mean I can't then go back in as the human and put my opinion and thought around that. So I've then gone, okay, what are the top five CRM platforms? And it's brought me out a list and it's given me some snippets. And then I've gone back in and like, well, HubSpot is like a combined platform. It's like most marketers enjoy using this, blah, blah, blah. I can put in some color around it. Salesforce is like getting punched in the face. And that is my personal opinion, not Joe's opinion, just to be clear. And that is, so like, I think there's a real opportunity for AI and the humans in that process to work hand in hand. And I actually think that it enables, so people who are worried about their content-based role, I actually think as long as they're able to adapt to that process and be willing to be supported by AI, then I actually don't see it as a changing of the guard at all.
No, that's interesting. I mean, it's fascinating. The only thing I observe as you speak about that is, say, for example, we're building a listicle, you know, so top 10 CRMs was the example that you used. Pop in a brief that sort of says, what are the top 10 CRMs? And you get the same answers back. So it'll be HubSpot, you know, Salesforce, Pipedrive, whatever it may be. Everyone's going to be producing that article, you know, one way or another, you know, there'll be a version of that. So again, sort of back to that commoditization point, you know, I can see how there's a differentiation with the editing, but there's also a point where we're never going to see number 11 or number 12 or number 13, because like the system is going to feed the system. And like, I appreciate that this is how these systems work as well. You know, Facebook shows you more of what you want. It doesn't show you what you don't want, you know, but I'm just, it's a curiosity at the very least to sort of think, are we going to go to that place where every article at least starts from the same base point and then is edited afterwards?
So, and obviously the Facebook AI, like we use, as much as I hate Facebook, like as a platform and probably for some of the things it stands for, but anyway, the like, that is the AI that we are all using day in, day out. Yeah. It's making assumptions, it's learning, mm-hmm. machine learning, or like whatever is going on in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like that echo chamber that it creates. Yeah, AI is going to create that, but then it still comes back down to that briefing point, mm-hmm. because the brief could be, show me the top 12, not top 10.
Yeah.
Or it could be, show me the top 10 for marketers working in X industry. So actually I can go deeper.
Yeah.
So I think, because if you look at the content being written by HubSpot partner agencies, mm-hmm. I can guarantee every one of those partner agencies will have a why you should work with a HubSpot partner, mm-hmm. like why you should choose HubSpot, why HubSpot is a better fit for marketing. Like, guarantee it. Yeah. All of them will have variations of that blog. But that does come back down to, how do we then personalize that? Mm. And I would say, and I would hand on heart say, those blogs on our website were written probably 8 years ago, refreshed periodically, more for SEO fodder than anything else.
Yeah.
And they probably don't show our personality or differentiate us enough if we were to rewrite them again today.
Mm.
And I think that comes down to, we would probably brief that differently now because we've firmed up our personas and ICPs and all that kind of shit. Like we know exactly who we're going after, what is our offering, and why are we different to the people we are. So now we could brief that in and then edit it. I still think like the other nice thing about AI is I can take that old content, pump it in and get it to rewrite it.
Yeah.
So I can do that. That's a big process for a human.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big process. Here's the blog content, put it in. Okay. Yeah. I can quickly scan through that. Looks good.
Yeah. Interesting. So like I think it's always useful to sort of think about like where can folks, you know, sort of how can we interact with this, you know, and sort of what can people do about it, I guess is an interesting place. And so hearing what you've said so far, then I think there's something about a reevaluation of our current expectations about how we interact with these systems and how we write content. And then there's probably also the secondary element, which is like, it's coming. There's no denying it one way or another. It's coming and it's already here in a lot of ways. And like you, I've seen enough articles out there now and examples to see that like, we can't really tell the difference between it and people writing. So, you know, it is here.
Well, that's, on that basis though, so Joe and I, before this, I was showing him the back end of Jasper. And Jasper, about a month ago, I think they launched the art side of what they do. So you can use AI to grow, to create imagery for us. And the description that I gave it was Boris Johnson playing cards with Donald Trump dressed up for Halloween. And within about 30 seconds, it has given us five options around that. And all of them look like they have been created by a human. Like, I mean, there's some questionable elements in some of them, but we've chosen some like abstract Andy Warhol watercolor basis, but it's pumped out content that actually I wouldn't think twice. So the one I've currently got up on my screen, I wouldn't think twice if I saw that in like a Guardian article.
It
looks like it's created content, 30 seconds, a brief. And that's the stuff that actually content, written content, I think AI will enhance what's being done and that briefing process and you can work hand in hand. I actually think from the visual creative side, that's where it becomes a little bit more, okay, where does that leave space for the current ways that we do things?
Well, so the only place which I can see it right now, and so we were discussing this before we went on, but is about branding, right? You know, and so a brand, you know, as defined is turning up in the same space again and again and again and sort of having a similar shape that people build an idea in their mind. And presently what I don't see through the current systems is like an overlayer of brand. So it doesn't say the marketing meetup brand guidelines look like this and therefore imagery should look like this. It presently relies on getting lots and lots of data points and sort of smashing them together. I'm actually not as interested in the AI isn't creative element. I don't think it's not creative. Creativity as defined as the connection of two seemingly unrelated things, and the bridge in the middle is the creativity element. But I think right now it doesn't seem like it's in the place where the branding is consistent. And for people who are looking to build brands that are in the very least distinctive, I wouldn't be able to use an AI image generator to create a marketing meetup asset because it's just not there yet.
Yep.
Not saying it won't be. In fact, I think it definitely would be. But
it's odd though, right? Like, and I don't mean this how this sounds, but your branding and like your like announcement posts,
yeah,
like with that kind of purple to pink faded background and then some words on the top of it, is not a complex structure.
No.
So like if you could get to the point where it has this background, I want you to then create these. But
definitely.
That stuff feels almost template driven.
Yeah.
No disrespect intended. No,
of course it is.
As much as I love disrespecting you at the opportunity. But that's template driven. Whereas do you need AI to do that for you at this point?
Yeah, no, it's fair.
But on the other flip side, so you've just announced New York City for your like one of your 17th.
Yeah.
17th. See, I do listen to you. So your 17th city that TMM is in.
Yeah.
And that was like visual assets. I'm presuming some of it's like stock video imagery that's been brought into that.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things could be done. You could say, I want a fast-paced, high-octane, kind of loud with images and videos mixed together of New York City in different spaces.
Yep.
That I can imagine being something you could do, but I want our brand colors and things like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a fair point. And actually, I guess exactly to your point, you could even use that as the basis to go off of, right? You know, you could start with those things as the background and then someone takes over from that point. So I guess it's really really interesting because I guess it the stock imagery sort of idea, maybe this is the new frontier of stock imagery, but actually it's all personalized, customized stuff that is built for you. I mean that's really exciting. That's
death
cool.
of stock imagery.
Well, it's interesting, because I mean over the course of this discussion then I started from a place of like, oh, actually, is this the death of SEO in any meaningful way? Is this the death of writing? And actually the birth a little bit more of like personal branding, because actually people will be craving that humanity a little bit more, because actually if the blog content is all the same, then you might as well go for the human element if indeed that's what you crave. I don't know whether it is the death of anything in particular. Maybe stock imagery is the closest is what we've got to. But it's a morphing of how we interact with these things for sure.
It's just the way I see stuff like this is it's another tool set. Mm. It's another tool set that, yes, has the power to change the way that we do things.
Yeah.
But so like I'm old enough to remember when Photoshop was becoming mainstream and changed the way that people thought about photography.
Yeah.
So like when I did photography at college level and it was all very much dark rooms and kind of film, which was cool. But it's like now we have the power to like change things after the photo has been taken. We don't have to go through that process of darkroom.
Yeah.
It's click on my screen type stuff.
Yeah.
And that changed an industry, but there's a lot of pushback around that as well. Mm. It's going to take the creativity around it. It's not as good and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think it's just another tool set that we can use that I think is going to accelerate the impact of certain areas and change the way that we deliver in certain other areas.
That's fair. That's fair. I'd say that's a good conclusion.
Good conclusion?
Yeah. I don't know what this one does.
Joe, always nice to catch up with you.
Thanks, mate. It was a good chat. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Oh, I see if it's recorded.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.